let's open up our Bibles then. I appreciate the Lord helping us. I appreciate God letting us come to the house of God. Let's do open up our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. Luke, chapter number 2. And we'll try to give you what I feel like the Lord's got for us. Luke, chapter number 2. You find that place. You stand with us. We'll give reverence to reading of the Word of God. Luke, chapter number 2. And you pray. I'd really like to preach, and I'd like to have a touch of God doing it, so you pray the Lord help us. And I don't know your need today, but we say it often here. If you're here and you ain't never been saved, the Bible's real plain, John 3:7, you must be born again. Good works ain't enough to get you to heaven, friends. You pray the Lord help us. Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, and of course you know the story, and I'm afraid some of us know it too well. We don't stand in awe of it near enough like we ought to. But the Bible said, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice the Bible skips on down there, and I'll say this, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find that babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you. And Lord, I pray that God, you'd help us this morning. I pray that you'd give us good liberty to preach the Word of God. And Father, I am thankful, as Miss Sheila already attested, to the fact that God, that you didn't just leave us here. But God, I sure am glad that, Lord, in your mercy and in your grace, you done for us what man could never do for ourselves. God, we could have lived 10,000 lifetimes and I would have never got it right enough to enter into your favor. But God, I'm sure glad, and Lord, that you sent your own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And Lord, for sin in the flesh destroyed it. So Lord, I'd ask you for just a moment of time that you'd help us, anoint us afresh, and to give us good unction to preach the gospel. And Father, if there be somebody here that don't know you, I pray this would be the morning, and this would be the time that God had to trust you as their Lord and Savior. Father, we love you. We thank you. Ask you all these favors in Christ's name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I got to thinking about this, and I was just going through the house, and probably like a lot of you right now, and maybe not too many of you, but probably a lot of you, like our house, there's about 400 boxes laying around. Amazon's everywhere in these days. And my wife was saying the other day, she said, I've got all of these presents, and not none of them are wrapped. And she's been working real hard on that. I don't know why we can't just hand folks boxes, but in our day, everybody wants them to be wrapped. And I got to thinking about what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It said, thanks be unto God, for he has unspeakable a gift. Ain't never been a gift like that one, amen. Thank God that's a gift, dear neighbor, that just keeps on giving. We keep on reaping the benefits of it. And thank God there's nobody in here ever deserved it. But then I noticed in verse 7, here's what the Bible said. It said she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And I got to noticing about this. And my friend, when you go through the Bible and you start looking in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you find is simply this. It's about three times that there is a wrapping and that is signified in his life. And if the Lord help us this morning, I'd like to preach on the subject on he's all wrapped up just for you. Amen. All wrapped up just for you. I was thinking about this, and I don't want to mess nobody up. How about my mama, when she'd give me a present and I was little, I'd go and I was one of the kids that I would cut the box and I'd open it up, and it was a spoiler alert. I knew what it was going to be. Well, I got got good news for you today. Spoiler alert on the message. Amen. And what's wrapped up is the Lamb of God. Amen. That's, thank God, listen, friend. And I found out that's all that we need. Amen. Here's what I want you to notice first of all. And we find here, and I know in our day, I mean, there's a Santa Claus is everywhere. And there's jingle bells is everywhere. But my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is still the reason that we come to this place and why we worship Him. I notice in this text what you find. As the Bible said, when she brought forth her firstborn son and they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And the boy, Americans like that. They like that little baby sitting there. They like the little baby that's innocent. And they don't care much about the second coming of Christ. And my boy, they like that little baby. But I got good news for you, friend. There's more going on than meets the eye. It's not just a baby born right here. And when he was born, friend, he wasn't waiting to become God. He was God. Amen. A God in the flesh that came down to us. And the Bible says it like this. And when there was no intercessor, God laid bare his own arm. In other words, that simply means that when God couldn't find help with nobody else, he just laid his own arm bare. He said, I'll do it myself. Amen. And so thank God what we find. And John 1:14, it said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But I want to say this, friend. I don't want you to overlook that we get focused on this night. But you got 4,000 years worth of the Word of God to tell you how it came to this. I want you to understand, dear friend. And if you don't hear nothing else I say, this very first wrapping, it points to the promised seed. Way back yonder in Genesis, when man had failed, and God clothed them the first with the coats of skin. And the Bible says this, Brother Kevin, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. He said, I put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. And thank God the Bible said, and thou shalt bruise his heel, and he shall bruise thy head. That's the very first prophecy in your Bible. And so thank God there's going to come a day that the very Lamb of God was going to come down. And now listen to me, dear friend. That was told 4,000 years before he ever could. I've got good news. Aren't you glad? Thank God. And God's never forgot one promise. There's never been a time that God needed reminding about anything. Dear friend, listen. For 4,000 years, the devil's done everything he can. Understand this. To try to stop this promise from happening. You understand the Bible said in Genesis chapter number 4, there's two boys there. And one of them's Cain and the other's Abel. And old Cain, he's the father of all religion. And the religion that says, I can do it myself. I can do it better than you can do it. But my friend, thank God. God's not looking for turnips and melons. He's looking for the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And so we find on the other side, Abel, he doesn't bring nothing from his own hands. He brings the Lamb to the Father and just presents what God required. And I'd say this. You know what the devil said? Well, here, if that seed's going to come out of that righteous one, I'll tell you what I'll do for him. I'll have him murdered by the wicked one, Cain. And so now he said, now where's that seed coming from? A surprise, surprise, surprise. There's another boy, another fellow by the name of Seth, whose name means appointed. You understand, every time that the devil thinks he's got the Lord, and that God's already had a better plan. And so we find that Seth comes up, and we find that there he is, and the seed starts coming forth. And then you turn your Bible to Genesis 6. And in Genesis 6, we find that the sons of God come down to the daughters of men. And the devil knows how it thinks. I'll corrupt the whole world. I'll make their thoughts wicked continually. And they'll have to wipe out the whole host. But oh, listen, hey, was one fella who found something that nobody else never had found before. And the Bible said in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. I want to go on record as saying this. I'm glad that God don't let everybody in on everything he's doing. Amen. And so you find that God has this remnant that goes on. And then we notice this in Exodus, how all the people of God are down there and all the seeds are being born. And you remember in Exodus 1, I think verses 19, and again in verse 22, that the scripture would say it like this. And the decree went out from Pharaoh and it said, kill all the Hebrews. And kill them all, amen. And they started to kill them all. But there's a few midwives said, man, them Jewish women. And they said, thank God they already delivered. And before we can get to them, that's God preserving a seed, amen. And you go all the way up to the book there of Esther. And they're now in a foreign land. There's that wicked Haman. And in the book of Esther, the Bible teaches us that he thought to destroy all the Jews. And no doubt he had the decree. He had the law written. It was going to be executed. But what about God? Placing a little queen in the right place at the right time. Hey, you know what all this is about, don't you, neighbor? It's about this birth right here. God's got his hand around that precious lineage all the way down through time. And every time the devil thinks, I've just about caught it. As a matter of fact, you find there in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, and the Bible would say this, and that royal seed got down to just one person. Oh, Athaliah raised up, and she said, I'm going to destroy all the seed of David. And they just about did. But wouldn't you have it, their friend? He was a fella, and he took a little boy by the name of Joash, and he just hid him where he couldn't be found. You know who really hid that boy? It was the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And so thank God, friend, all these years, God's just keeping this little seed, and he's keeping it protected. And then for 400 years, and nobody's heard from God, and nobody's heard nothing about God, and they forgot the promises of God. He said that was 4,000 years ago. Hey, it's a dark time now. It was a time we thought he might come and help us, but he's not coming now. And then bless God, and right when they wasn't looking for him no more, on that very night, wrapped in a little swaddling cloth. And don't miss this. Watch what your Bible said in Luke chapter 2, verse number 12. It said, this shall be a sign unto you. And the last sign God gave, he gave in Isaiah 7:14. He said, I'll give you myself a sign. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Amen. And what you find right here, and thank God, and the sign was in the manger. Let me go on record and say it. I'm glad he was in a manger, ain't you? Amen. Hey, he could have been born anywhere. He could have been born in palaces where only the kings could have got to it. He could have been born in a priest's house where only the religious could have got to it. He could have been born in a Jew's house where only the Jews could have got to it. But oh no, amen. Thank God out there, out in a little manger, and we find the Lamb of God was born. And you know why, friend? And whosoever will, let him come. Amen. I say thank God. Thank God. Amen. I get to thinking about this sometimes, and it makes me so happy I can't hardly stand it. I know some of you have heard it before, and it'll do you good to hear it again. Hey, you know, from God's design, it's always been about that lamb. Everything's always revolved around the lamb. And whenever there was Cain and Abel, it was one lamb took care of one person. If he was going to get in, it was one lamb for one person, and that was it. Amen. But then we find in Exodus chapter 12 that God just widened that the mouth of the lamb a little bit, and it became one lamb for one family or one household. They put the blood on the top, and they put it on the side, and whosoever was in the home, thank God that lamb was big enough. And Leviticus chapter number 16,
on the Day of Atonement. There was one atoning lamb, and he died for the whole nation. Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it? Amen. I mean, just one blood-shedded lamb, and that lamb took care of the sins of the whole nation and put enough on credit. But oh, dear friend, in John 1:29, there's another lamb there, and it's not just for one person, and it's not just for one home, and it's not just for one nation. But old John declared, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. Oh, dear friend, hear me. What was born this day in a manger, that was the Lamb of God, and it didn't just come for Kevin and his family, but it came for the Africans, and it came for the Asians, and it came for the Americans, and it came for the smart, and it came for the dumb. It came for the shepherds, and that's the poor people, and it came for the wise men, that's the rich people. It came for the poor, it came for the rich, it came for everybody in between. It came for the shepherds that was close, and it came for the wise men that was far. I'm saying this to you. Thank God. Listen, dear friend, if you ever really got a hold of the fact that the Lord came, and not just for those of us that growed up in church, but those that growed up in drugs homes and in drug addicts homes, and the same invitation for one is the same invitation for them all. Let whosoever will, let him come. Amen. Let him come. Let him come. Amen. And you find them there, them old stinky shepherds. Amen. And thank God. Listen, I like them shepherd boys. Them shepherd boys show up, and they ain't got no money, and they ain't got no education, and they don't know nothing, but they know this. I'll tell you, listen to me, friend. You understand the shepherds wasn't, they wasn't even trying to pay attention to God. They was just out in the field minding their own sheep. But that day God came looking for them, and the angel told them, he said, go there and you'll find him. But then in Luke's gospel, or in Matthew's gospel rather, them wise men, they came searching for him. And just listen, that might not do nothing for nobody else, but every time I read it, and I find that there's a group that went after him, and there's a group that he went after them, that does something for my heart, and I just can't hardly explain. I don't know how you showed up this morning, and maybe you was looking for him, maybe he is looking for you, but I got good news. He's all wrapped up just for you. Amen. Oh yes, friend. And so we find the first time he's wrapped up, he's wrapped up in a manger. Look with me, if you will, in Mark's Gospel chapter 15. Mark's Gospel chapter 15. I want you to see this real quickly, if you will. Mark's Gospel chapter 15. Here's what the Bible says in Mark's Gospel chapter 15. We find the first time he's wrapped up, it points to the promised seed. We find the second time he's wrapped up, he's wrapped up in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter number 15. And the Bible says this in the verse number 42. Said, now when the evening was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, had Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which was waiting for the kingdom of God, he came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and he craved the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled as if he were already dead, calling unto the centurion, and he asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph, and he brought fine linen, and he took it down, and he wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And so the first time he came wrapped up, it pointed to the promised seed. At the second time you find him wrapped up, it points to the promised Savior. Amen. Now look here, friend. I tell you, this prophecy right here, it gets to me. Amen. And we're getting ready to have a play. I'm just going to try to be, listen, we're getting ready to have a play, and we're going to have a dress rehearsal for it. And you know what that means? That means not everybody involved is going to be here, but there's going to be a few folks here, and they're going to dress the parts, and they're going to say the parts, and they're they're going to go through all the parts and try to make it. And they're going to try to get make sure it looks right before the day it actually comes. How you know there's a dress rehearsal for Calvary in your Bible. There's a day that God, He used the different folks, but He made it look real good. He made it look just like it's going to look on Calvary, Dad. I'll tell you what He done. It's in Genesis at chapter number 22. And He takes old Abraham up there, and He takes His boy Isaac, and when He gets up there, He says, listen, I want you to kill thy son, thy only son Isaac. Oh, Mount Moriah was a dress rehearsal for the mountain of Calvary. And He drove back that knife, getting ready to kill His boy. And oh, friend, that angel said, stop. But listen, on the real deal, and Brother Benny, they wasn't nobody said stop. I'll tell you what the Bible says Christ could have done. And said, think I could not now presently call unto my Father. And He had sent more than 12 legions of angels. But friend, He didn't intend to get delivered. He intended to deliver us. Amen. I say, thank God. Thank God. Hey, listen, that first prophecy, 4,000 years. 4,000 years. I'll tell you this, you know how long? Look at me. Everybody up here, look at me real good. I want this to settle in your heart. You know how long the prophecy was? I mean, do you know how long it's been in the heart of God that His Son would die for your sins and for my sins? You know how long it's been? It wasn't 1,000 years. It wasn't 2,000 years. It wasn't 6,000 years. It wasn't 10,000 years. It was from as far eternity past as you could. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was always in the heart of God. And when you see Him wrapped up, it's a promise that God had made to Himself to do something for the souls of man. Amen. Oh, listen. You say, brother, I don't understand that. I'll tell you what you need to understand. You're not saved eternally because you keep it. Amen. You're saved eternally because the covenant's not between you and God. Amen. The covenant's between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And I just got to get in on the covenant. Amen. And when I got in, I got sealed in, and I'm sealed in for eternity. Amen. What we find here is that He's on that place. I want you to watch what happens. There's a lot of things going in here. And we don't have time to preach everything. But in Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, that's the first prophecy you'll find recorded to man about this day. And in Genesis 22, 8, y'all remember the story? Even old Isaac go up there with his father Abraham. And they get up there and they get to looking around. And Abraham said, there's the wood. He said, there's the fire. He said, now wait a second. We've went and offered before, and you can't offer without a lamb. He said, where is the lamb? Amen. And well, I mean, I love Abraham's answer. You talking about inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. You understand? Look at me, for there's some of you. Y'all ain't even happy about it. But I'm going to tell you this. Abraham longed to see Christ's day, and the Bible said, and he rejoiced about it. Amen. And so what you find here is this. Oh, Abraham gives him the answer. And he said, my son, he said, God shall provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He said, He'll provide Himself. And so we find God the Son becomes the Son of God. And thank God, listen, that comes down from deity all the way down to humanity. He wraps Himself up on the cross, dies for our sin. He provided Himself. And that's the sacrifice. But it gets better than that. He offered Himself. Amen. In Hebrews 7:28, He said, who needeth not daily to first offer up a sacrifice for His own sin and then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered Himself. Amen. I'd say thank God. So what you find is that not only did He offer Himself, but He presented Himself. He was both the sacrifice and the sacrificer. Amen. He was the one who did the offering, and He was the offerer. Amen. And you say, what difference does it make? Well, if it was me or you involved, humanity would be a part of it, and we would have messed it up. Amen. And so God took it out of our hands. He did the offering Himself. He was the offerer Himself. And so that, thank God, nothing would be messed up. Praise God, that might not make you happy, but I want to shout. Hey, man, what about a God who'd say, y'all mess that up? Y'all think you'd mess it up? Oh, I'm sure everybody in here gets everything right all the time. Come on now. Smile at me on that one. At least look here. It'll help some folks to act a little less spiritual. Amen. Come in the house of God. Act like they've never messed up. Don't know what it is to sin. Hey, listen, the Bible says you're a liar and I do too. Amen. Thank God that'll help you. Amen. That's exactly what the scripture said. Any man said he hath not, he's a liar, friend, deceives his own self. I'm saying this, what you find is that Christ came and done for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Points to the promise. You know them fellas, they're sitting there, and just about everybody had give up on the promise of the Messiah coming. Sadducees wasn't looking for him. The Pharisees wasn't looking for him. But you know what the Bible does record? Has a little fella named Simeon. Hey, now nobody else is much thinking he is a coming. But old Simeon's still over there and he said, oh, I knows this. He said, God made a promise. And I thank God. He said, I believe God's promises are true. It's almost like he knew 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen. Thank God. And the Bible says in which it was impossible for God to lie. I'm saying this, friend. And the very fact that we can pray and know that God answers prayer is because God's never one time reneged on a promise. Amen. Not once. And so he goes up there and he dies for our sins. He dies for us. He dies as us. He dies in our stead to do what we can't do. Amen. Now listen, don't nobody get hurt at me, but the Lord never one time in this whole blessed book tells us to remember his birth. Not one time. He don't even tell us to remember the resurrection. Not one time. I like Christmas. I like Easter. Thank God, let's shout her out about him being born. Justin, let's shout her down about him getting up. But you know what he did say? As often as you do, he said, remember, do this in remembrance of me. He said, always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. If there's one thing we ought to be shouting about, it's not, thank God, the lights that's all around us and the gift that came under the tree. It's the one that was on the tree that had to give life eternal to you and I. Amen. Let me say this. We find that he's the first rap and it points to the promise. I got so much liberty, I'll not preach 2 hours. Amen. And we find next and says, second rap, it points to the promised Savior. But I want you to notice this. Let's turn with me, if you will, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 20. Gospel of John, chapter number 20. Here's what you find here. There's the first rapping. Here's the second rapping. Then there's the third rapping. Now look at me, friend. I want you to get this. And the first time it was wrapped, it was his mama wrapped him up. Ain't that right? Is that right or not right? Some of y'all ain't listening to nothing I said all day. Amen. Is that right or not right? They wrapped him up. The mama did. And the next time he was wrapped up, he was wrapped up by Joseph of Arimathea and the women preparing his body. They wrapped him up. But this time, now listen to me. This time when it came to the wrappings, wasn't no wrapping going to be done. Only unwrapping. watch what your Bible says. Y'all look here. Chapter 20, verse number 6. Chapter 20, verse number, we'll start in verse 4. I like it even good too. So they ran both together. Other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. He stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, went into the sepulcher, and the Bible said, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but it was wrapped together in a place by itself. At last, wrapping, listen, the first one pointed to the promised seed, the second one pointed to the promised Savior, but the third one had points to the promised sovereign. Amen. How many days a day, thank God, coming back? You understand the Lord was just lying where he was lying at, and they had him wrapped up, and then all of a sudden when they come in and they find a little napkin, and the Bible says that it was folded up and it was laying by itself. You know that word napkin? It literally comes from a term meaning tablecloth. Amen. It was a tablecloth, thank God. And you know where you and I are at. And we always say oftentimes, I mean, thank God when you're done, you just wad that thing up and you throw it down. Have it, bless God, when there's more work to be done, you fold that thing up neatly because it ain't over yet. Amen. He's a coming back. He's a coming back. And you say, preacher, is there any prophecy for that? At least 2,000 years before he come. How David pinned down in Psalms chapter 2. And he said, why do the heathen rage and thank God and imagine a vain thing? He said, he that saith up in heaven shall laugh. Amen. And the Bible declares to us, there'll be a time at the uttermost parts of the world will be given unto him for an inheritance and for a possession. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. Amen. And mark her down straight and tall, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Amen. Boy, when they got down there and they seen that, they went, you understand them disciples, they's a lot like Baptists are today. I mean, God been telling them and telling them. He said, 3 days, destroy it, and I'm coming up. Yeah. This ain't 3 days, is all that's going to last, and I'm coming up. But you see Peter, and you see James, and you see John, and you see Mary, and you know what they're all going down there doing? They're all going to prepare a dead body.
Yeah.
And then whenever old John peeks in, and he looks down through the hall, and he said, I don't know what to tell y'all, but there ain't nobody in there. Yeah, now listen, friend, I wouldn't have gone, I could do this better justice than what it is. But you understand when they wrap him up and they bomb that, what they're doing is they're mummifying that, so to speak. And on the outside of that thing, it'd become hard. It'd be like paper mache. And so on the outside of that thing, it wasn't crumbled up. You know why? Brother Ty, he just came right through that thing. Amen. And he took that little napkin that was on his face and he laid it over on the other side. And when they came to that tomb, they was hopeless. And when they left out of that tomb, they had the promise of God on the inside. And God reminding them again. And men in Luke 24 and walking down that street of Emmaus and being reminded one more time, oh fools and slow of heart, had to believe all that the prophets have said. I mean, the Lord's done said it, neighbor. It's a settled fact that the Lord is coming again. Amen. I believe it, don't you? You say, why do you believe it? Well, he came the first time like he said he would. He died like he said he would. He got up like he said he would. He's taking care of the church like he said he would. Thank God, why in the world would I think that he ain't coming back? Just like he said he would. You said, I don't believe it. That's fine. Bible says in 1 Peter, said in those days scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Say, so y'all been talking about the Lord coming and he ain't came yet. And you know what? For 4,000 years, they talked about his first coming. And for 4,000 years, they looked like they were believing a false promise.
Right.
But then on one night, they looked dumb until they wasn't. Y'all understand what I'm saying? They looked ignorant until all of a sudden they didn't look ignorant no more. They looked like they was believing something false until all of a sudden it came true. And listen, that first day when he came just exactly like he said he would. When he went and he died like he said he would. And you say, well, I don't know why he ain't came yet. Well, I'll tell you this. You said he's delayed it. No, he ain't. Bible says very plainly over there in Hebrews 13, it says, in a little while, for he that shall come will come. Boy, I like that, don't you? He won't tarry. Say, how do you know he's coming? He said he was. He said he was. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. Don't you like that? He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, thank God, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I say, thank God, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. Say, preacher, what I do with all that? Well, if you're lost, you need to be saved. Come get a song. Donnie, Josh, whoever's going to sing, Alyssa.